Soldier Field, 24-17. Bears trying to get their 10th win. Here's the boot up in the air. Going up for it. Allen Robinson, he's got it!
I want to see the Bears give him an opportunity to prove that he can do that.
He's got the ball at the 43-yard line.
When all the signs in the world were there.
I think that'll be a fade to black moment with Allen Robinson taking it out of the air.
That's what you're really hoping for, that they really contribute to the team each year and that you build a great base and foundation.
And these loyal fans have been rewarded for their loyalty.
It was awesome. We picked up right where we left off. It was fantastic.
And they have a Bears team to be proud of right now. Takes the snap, takes a knee, they head to the field. The Bears have won it!
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of 34 to Glory. I'm your host, Tyler Flesh, joined by my co-host and father, Brian Flesh.
Hey there, Bears fans. What a game that was on Thursday night.
Right. Before we talk about the game, something happened before the game that I feel like we got to talk about because it's a big part.
Why
you're a Bears fan, why I'm a Bears fan, but Dick Butkus unfortunately passed away in his sleep at 80. True legend of Chicago. And you could almost say he started the Monsters of the Midway. And I mean, he's probably... If you think linebacker, if he's not the first name that pops in your head, he's the second.
Oh,
so.
Absolutely. I mean, I grew up with Dick Butkus. The 63 draft where we took Gale Sayers at number 3 and Dick Butkus at number 4, and they both ended up being not just great players, but in the Hall of Fame, probably the greatest single draft that will ever occur. Dick Butkus, I grew up watching him. I was 8 years old. And I was watching him play ball. And I love the intensity, the toughness. Even at 8, I can remember, man, that guy can play.
Right. And also, he just, I think also the fact that, you know, you see legends play football and then they retire and then they do their own thing. Dick stuck around the club. He was at the opener. He's always represented the Bears. I'm going to miss his wars with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, over Twitter, when he got his Twitter account. It's really cool to have a legend that big still be such a big fan along with us.
It made him larger in life, didn't it? I mean, he was not only fantastic on the football field, but... You talk with anybody who played with him. He had a great sense of humor. My favorite story real quickly about Dick Butkus and his sense of humor is one time he got a hold of a raccoon and put it in one of the other players' rooms.
Yeah.
And just, I mean, that was, if you knew Dick Butkus, that was, I mean, they used to tell a story of, you know, hey, we heard that Dick Butkus actually took a bite out of people. They asked him one time if that really happened. He just smiled and said, you know, things grow over time. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, the legend that became him, I mean, there was some truth to it. I forget which player it was, but he actually tackled a player so hard that that player shit himself.
Yeah, it was true. I love what Gale Sayers, by the way, said about Dick Butkus when Papa Bear told him as coach, basically... said, hey, when you're practicing, Gale, watch out for number 51. And Gale goes, why? And he said, because he'll knock your ass off. He goes, yeah. And that's the linebacker I played against in practice.
Yeah, the sole fact of how good he was and then how he just stuck around the club. I mean, he'll definitely be missed. It sucked.
Yeah,
when it happened, yeah. I was on the road when I got the news, and I almost couldn't believe it. And then, you know, it started popping up everywhere, and I was like, well, shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but, he was really a larger-than-life guy. And
you know, 80's not a bad age, if I'm being honest.
No.
And 80's a long way, and at least he went out peaceful, and it wasn't, you know, something crazy. So,
yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
that part did suck.
But he'll be missed.
Maybe. Yeah, he'll be missed. Definitely missed. I mean, it was always cool just to even see him on TV getting the game hyped up. So,
yeah.
You know, yeah, he's definitely going to be missed. But we did end up, you know, kind of putting one on for him as
the
game.
I like the fact that Justin Fields said at the end of the game that one was for Butkus. I thought that was really classy by Fields as a young guy to remember Butkus and to say, yeah, we found out before the game. He was real
moments
clear.
Like they were talking on set and he found out. They go, we had no idea, and then it just kind of the news broke and we're like, no way.
Yeah, I know. It was really hard to believe. I had the same reaction as you. I was, you know, sitting there. I wasn't driving like you were, but I was sitting there thinking, man, can this really be true? And, you know, or is this just kind of but yeah, then I went on the internet and things were blowing up and I thought, okay, yeah. It's true. It's happened. So rest in peace, buddy. Rest in peace.
So with that being said, let's move on to the actual game itself and talk about what happened. Great game.
Loved it.
I paused there because I don't know how to... It's good that we got the win, right? I wanted the win. I'll be honest. I wanted it because I don't want to go. I don't want the losing streak to continue. It's early in the morning. I didn't want that to happen. I didn't want any of that to happen. But the reason I'm pausing and I'm just... Because I'm getting lost in my thoughts. Because I still... don't know if Justin Fields is the guy or not, but that's not a bad defense. And he you know, 4 TDs against Denver, 4 TDs now. He has a DJ Moore showed up. He had a perfect, you've had to see the stats, you know. When he throws to DJ Moore, he has a perfect passer rating. He has 5 touchdowns, you know, over 500 yards, 0 picks. It's a perfect rating. That stat was blown up everywhere, but I sit here and I go, Mitch Trubisky never made the throws that Justin Fields makes. I really think we have a quarterback. The only problem is that we won, so now it's like, I just don't want to lose perspective because we won one. So it's like Eberflus was celebrating like, yes, I get a full year in now.
Well, yeah, here's my take on that, Ty, and that is that Justin Fields isn't broken. Our coaching staff is broken, and the system that they have in place is broken. And I'll tell you why I believe that is if you kind of look at the play calling for the first 3 games last year and for the first 3 games this year, almost similar stuff that they were calling. And it wasn't until last year, until what was it, the 4th or 5th game that Fields actually started to heat up. They started to call plays and things that helped his particular talent and abilities. I mean, look, the first 3 passes we did against the Commanders, that first one was a long shot to Mooney. Didn't we have another one? And then the third down one was the big play to Moore. So, yeah. I mean, we were basically seeing, hey, you know what? We can throw on these guys. When we start using Moore the way that he was intended to be used, it's working. So I don't think it's so much that Justin can't throw. We know he can throw. I think it's more of we've got a broken system in place, and it's hard for players to be their top-notch player that they can be in a broken system.
Well, and I think you saw it, right? Like, it was all coaching. Because what we need to talk about is the intensity in which we played. The players, it's not the players. We can eliminate the players from this equation. This is solely front office stuff. And we'll trust me, there's a lot to talk about with this front office. what happened is, I know that the theme of this year has been, but it, you could clearly see it, the theme of the year has been coaching. You could clearly see it on display Thursday night. The intensity in which we came out and played in the first half, and then Eberflus says, we're not, you know, score 0-0, we're not taking our foot off the gas. Even Ryan Fitzpatrick said, don't take your foot off the gas. What did they do? They took their foot off the gas. I mean, it was unbelievable. Run plays, design runs for Fields all of a sudden because we were ahead, because, you know, we were all banged up on running backs. Here's an idea. Why not keep throwing the ball because it's working and we're scorching them? What blew my mind is there was a total mismatch with Cole Kmet and their linebackers. And Cole Kmet got one touchdown. Cole Kmet should have been running rampant, but we pulled it back. We pulled back on offense, and we pulled back on defense. And you could clearly see it. And I said, and I know every Bear fan had that thought in their head, here we go again. They're going to do it again. We're going to blow a 24-point lead. Here we go again.
You know that's what I was thinking. Because,
right.
And guess what? It didn't come that far away from happening. Because we were playing in a zone defense consistently. We weren't allowing anything over the top. And when you do that, you allow 7 yards here, 10 yards here. Well, guess what, gang? It's only a 100 frickin' yard field. It takes less than 2 minutes when you allow 7 yards here, 10 yards there, 15 yards there to march your butt down the field and get back in the game. And they came awful doggone close to getting back in this game.
Also, what's with Bears? We had this with Nagy. There were rumors that he'd be fired after a game if he lost. He comes out, and I forget which game it was, he comes out and wins. Now Eberflus comes out and wins. And since when are we an organization where we're like, hey, you know what? That was one good win. You're good for the year. The fact that we continue to settle on below the bar, like, I mean, it's not even mediocre. Like, it's not like we're a 500 team. We got one win. He cannot keep going. He is the worst coach I've ever seen. He is literally the worst coach in Bears history.
I think he absolutely is right up there as one of the worst coaches. And here's the deal. We put a 40-burger on the Commanders. And we, again, I want to stress this. A couple different bounces of the ball, and they're in that game because we allowed them as a defense to be back in the game. Now, afterwards, I don't know if you saw this out on social media. There's some rumor that the Bears are looking for a defensive coordinator because they would like Eberflus to get kind of back in his, you know, the head coaching role and not being both the, quote, head coach and defensive coordinator. It's like, guys, what are you doing here? I mean, Eberflus can't coach whether it's offense or defense. I mean,
but,
come on.
But since when are we saying that a coach can't, a head coach has to be a head coach? When is that a thing?
Well,
you know, around the league, you have other head coaches calling plays, and Eberflus is like, guys, I can't even call defense. That should be a sign right there. And as far as I'm concerned, we need to talk about this. Ryan Pace, that's who's back in office. It's not Ryan Poles. Ryan Poles, he had like a quote saying, everyone needs to go. We're about to clean house. Well, add yourself in that house because you literally made the worst trade in Bears history. We just traded Chase Claypool to the Miami Dolphins and got fleeced, got robbed. What's the point of the trade? Just cut his ass because you got nothing. You literally got nothing. Let me tell you what exactly we got. The Bears will receive a 2025 sixth round pick as part of the deal, while the Dolphins receive a 2025 seventh round pick. Why? Why are we trading a seventh round pick too? We swap picks?
Yeah, when I saw that tie, it made absolutely no sense unless they're thinking, oh, we at least got something for him. Well, no, you didn't.
No, you got no. Let him.
You got less than something. You got minus.
Also, this could be me, like, just reading into things and not quite understanding everything. So I'm just going to throw this out there. I called you during the game, and I said, we'll save some of this for the game. You know, Claypool made that remark that, you know, they're not using me like they should. Then out of nowhere in that game, all of a sudden, for some odd reason, we start throwing balls that, like, that's what Claypool's meant for. Like the back shoulders, the high point fades. And I'm sitting here going, is this kind of like a shot at him? Because I thoroughly believe that the only reason he was traded is because him and Eberflus did not get along.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been high school all year, right? I mean, that's kind of the culture that Eberflus has established. It's a high school slash maybe college kind of culture in which, you know, you go with my hits principle and you go with what's happening and what I want to do. It has nothing to do with good coaching. Good coaching is about knowing the talent and the individual skill sets that your key players can do and building a system. This is why Andy Reid is so damn good, is he listens to what his star players can do. He builds systems that support the strength of those star players. And that's what makes him so good. Eberflus is the opposite of that. He has a system that you have to fit into, okay? And if you don't fit into it, we've seen the high school kind of stuff between him and Claypool this year. And it's been ridiculous because it's been lies. It's been, practically making shit up. And then later on, the HR department going, that's not really what happened. He was really sent home. We told him not to come back into the stadium. So, I mean, come on. This is why I am so frustrated with the Bears at this point in time. I love the win. Don't get me wrong, gang. I love the win. And I love some of the things we did. And Justin Fields is, they're throwing to more. And they're doing some of the things I've wanted to see done. I think they're doing some of the things you've wanted to see done. But you know what? Here's the deal. We're going to have to put up a 40 or 50 burger on everybody as long as we continue to play defense like this.
But an interesting thing that's coming out with Justin Fields is now, is he auditioning for this team or another team?
Well, that's been out there, hasn't it?
And well, not like it has been lately because he's hot right now and he's looking good. Mm-hmm. And it just, I mean, we talked about it before, but you just brought up the system and, like, if you ever listen to players talk about Andy Reid, they, you know, they say, hey, he wants you to be yourself out there. And he caters. That's what I think coaching is, right? You cater to what you have, not you force, you know. You can't sit there and cook something and just keep feeding it to someone and they go, this is horrible. And they said, no, if you don't like it, get out.
Or what you got to do is you got to adjust. You got to learn to like it.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't make any sense. I just don't like the simple fact that we're sitting here and we're talking about how Eberflus now has a longer leash after one win on a short week against the Commanders, against a rookie quarterback. I get it. The Commanders have been playing good and they have a good defense and all that, but it just, the first half was awesome. The second half, I was like, oh my God, we're not good. Like this is all coaching again. It's that cover two shell. He continues to play. I mean,
it was zones. I saw one play in the first half that was man to man. One play.
Yeah.
It's all zone.
I want to bring this up too. One, if Aaron Rodgers was still in the league, he would be tearing us up because he loves the cover two. He doesn't need to take big shots downfield. He loves the nickel and dime.
Oh, yeah. That's what his repertoire.
And that's what kills me about that defense, right? That's what absolutely kills me is because who gives a shit about a big play? How often do you get burnt for a big play?
Yeah.
Not that often. Why would you want to be nickeled and dimed? Again, Eberflus is playing in the early 2000s. The game, he's 20 years behind right now. And then another thing, Luke Getsy is just, he did okay, but I'm still not sold on him. And I heard a very interesting interview with D'Amico Ryans. And D'Amico Ryans, remember, he was a defensive coordinator for San Francisco. He talked about Kyle Shanahan in a way that it was fascinating. It was fascinating to hear because this is what he would say. He said the amount of motion that he would put into and how every play, like one play had 18 plays in it, one formation, they could run 18 different plays. He goes, it was the most confusing thing for our defense. He goes, it was hard for me to figure out. But then Shanahan would say, hey, how would you stop this? This is my play. He would always be bouncing off, like, talking to me how to stop it and all this. He said, D'Amico Ryan said, when there's that much motion, it is so hard on a defense.
Yeah.
And listen to what he said, though. This is key. He goes, so then once we got out of training camp, he goes, we lined up, you know, against other teams. And he's like, I won't say the teams. And they're like, oh, they're not running any motion. This is easy. This is easy to read what's about to happen. He goes, and I'm sitting here going, how does everyone else not understand that? Like, we talk about it all the time, but it doesn't make sense how it's not getting down. Somehow, the information is just, like, everyone knows, but, like, the ego of, nah, we're doing it my way. Your way sucks, buddy. We got to get a different way. Like, all of a sudden, Getsy just starts using motion, though, on Thursday night, and you can see some of the effects, but...
I was about to bring that up.
As far as just a team, we're not there. I don't know, man. It's hard to judge this because of the second half. And also, like, I don't think we're going to have any more momentum. I don't know what's going to happen this season. But, like, I'm just not a big fan of the leash getting extended just because of one win.
I'm not either. I think the one win is great. I'll take it. I love it. But... the basic principles of what we have in place and the things and the people who drive it have not changed. And unless I can see sustained change in how the offense is called and sustained change in how the defense is called, I'm seeing this more as an aberration. And the players basically outplayed the system to win the game.
Well, you saw the intensity the players came out with. So I definitely agree with you on that. I mean, I think the players just came out, but like, and I mean, you could see it on defense. You could see our defensive line who we had two sacks going into that game, you know, and how many did we get?
Five.
Four, five?
I think we got five sacks that game. And so,
yeah, I can fact check that and make sure. But yeah, I'm saying
that off the top of my head. I'm sorry about that.
No, you're good. I just want to make sure we got it right. Yeah. But as far as, like, it just shows you, though, the system. Like, I keep talking about it because it was so relevant. It was so night and day, the two halves. We let up. We let them back into the game. We struggled. We started going three and out, short run plays and all that. And it just, I mean, ugh.
Well, here's what we didn't see, gang. Think about the game on Thursday night. How many bubble screens did you see thrown? I don't remember a bubble screen being thrown.
Yeah, there was one. There was at least one? There's one or two.
Was there one or two? Okay,
to DJ Moore.
How'd it do?
Guess what half it was in?
Second.
Yeah.
Okay. I must have went out to the kitchen to get something. So how did that bubble screen
it
work out, by the
did.
Way?
It did really good.
Did it? All right. Okay, I'll eat my words then.
I'm pretty sure it was the one where they thought Moore stepped out of bounds.
Ah, okay.
No, that wasn't.
So they did okay. You know where I'm going, though, with it, right?
You're
right.
You're right on five sacks, by the way.
Okay.
So I do know where you're going with it. It's stupid. I know other teams run it, but other teams actually like they don't run it all the time. It's not like we're very reliant on it, it seems like.
Well, you know what really got me about the game, and I've got to mention this. So we've got Roshan injured, he's out. We've got Khalil Herbert, he gets injured. So we are now running with a fullback. Is it Blasinger?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're running with Blasinger as our number one back because Donta Foreman is not even active on the roster for this last particular game. And yet, we're continuing to try to run the ball. Guess what, gang? Washington Commanders love that. They ate him up. He does not have enough cutting speed. He does not have the ability at the NFL level. That's why he's a fullback. What does a fullback do in most systems? They occasionally get the ball, but they're used to block.
Yeah.
And so again, it just frustrates me because I don't know if they think that he's going to do a Cinderella moment and put on new shoes and magically turn into something he's not. But it was a prime example of what we've talked about, Tyler. Putting a guy out there, trying to make him fit the system when he didn't.
Yeah, and look, there is some positive takeaways that I want to talk about this game, too. As far as players go, like David Montgomery, I hope you were taking notes because I never saw you run as hard as Khalil Herbert ran last night. That guy was running with purpose. He is a damn good back. He's starting to come into his own. Honestly, I don't miss David Montgomery. I think that was a horrible pick. I don't like his running style at all. He didn't fit the system. You know, good. Have fun in Detroit. You know, like, I mean, whatever. Yeah, I don't think, like, honestly, when he went to Detroit, I was like, that doesn't even hurt. You know, usually it hurts when you go to a division rival. I'm like, whatever.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, he's doing great in Detroit. Good for him. Okay?
But that's what I'm saying.
I don't particularly miss him either.
But that's what I'm saying. You weren't threatened.
Yeah. No. I thought we had more than good depth until Thursday night.
And right.
I'm like, I guess I was surprised that Donta Foreman was not even active. He wasn't an option. I didn't know that coming into the game. But, of course, I'm sure we couldn't have predicted that we would go through two running backs in a single game either. But I was a bit surprised.
When Johnson, that hit, I knew it was concussion. That was just, he lowered his helmet to helmet, and you just saw it, and you're like, ooh, he's out.
Yeah.
Like, that was instant for me. Yeah. I saw that hit, that replay, and I was just like, ooh.
Yeah. And on the other side of the ball, by the way, I got to give it to that Logan Thomas. That's the first time I've really seen him play as Washington Commanders tight end. But, man, that guy's good. He's good. And they throw to him. They throw to him consistently. So, I thought,
Eric Bieniemy goes to Washington, not a head coach. He's, you know.
I like him.
I like him, too. I really do, man. I think that's someone you need to target. I really do. It's for someone to say, look, I'm not going to take a head coaching job because Matt Nagy ruined it for everyone in KC. And he really did. But the balls to say, I'm going to go to Washington, not for a head coaching job, but to be an offensive coordinator, right there, the character of that, huge, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
The grind of, like, basically, without saying it, but he basically is like, fuck you guys. No one wants me. Okay, I'll go here with a rookie, and I'm going to try to do some things. And you know what? He is doing good.
Yeah. Can we talk about that, Ty? Because what you just did is you brought up a really interesting contrast. I don't even know if you realized if you did it or not. But you know how the NFL always talks about the character of players and how character matters. Matters on the field, matters in the locker room. What about character of the coaches?
Yeah, that seems to be non-existent. Doesn't matter.
I mean, you know what I mean? But What's good for the goose is good for the gander, isn't it?
I've heard interviews of players on Kansas City talk about Eric Bieniemy, and they're like, no, he's a genius. He's good. You know, he's studied with Andy Reid. He's really picked up on it. And I just think for him to develop his own system. Now, we got a long way to go in the season. But if we start looking at how Sam does for the Commanders as quarterback, as a rookie, I mean, you got to be sitting there going, here's a team that needs a head coach. Here's a guy who just said, fuck you guys. No one wants me as a head coach. I'll go do it in a team where no one thought I could do it. If he continues to thrive that way, I just believe that's our guy.
Yeah.
Because I like the character of him being like, you know what? No one wanted me. I'll do it here. Let me get out of Andy Reid's shadow. I like that because he didn't have to.
No, he could have stayed there. He would have been really comfortable. He could have stayed there for life practically, right?
No, easy. And think too, it's not even, like, that's what's crazy about the whole thing, right? It's not even the fact of, oh, I'm switching teams. No, I'm uprooting my life. I'm leaving Kansas City. I'm going to go live in Maryland. And I'm just like, that's crazy if you think about it. Like, just that's how, to me, if someone wants to be a head coach that damn bad, it's no longer, you're not getting the talk. Right? There's no more coach talk in these fucking interviews. He shouldn't even have to. The Bears should just offer him the job without interviewing him.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's funny that you said that because I was thinking the exact same thing, Ty. I was like, why do you even need to interview a guy like that? Is it his resume on the field of what he's done?
I mean,
I see, that's the piece I don't kind of understand, is some of these people like Bieniemy. Did I pronounce that correct?
Yeah, Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah. Some of these guys, their resume is what's happened on the field that year, or the previous year, or years. That is their resume that they bring to you. Why do they even just hire the guy?
I get that you want to talk to him and see what kind of person he is and character and stuff, but man, I just feel like that dude would fit in Chicago. I know that everyone's like, I mean, it wouldn't be the same as hiring Nagy now. Now that what he's done. Granted, there's a long way to go in the season, and we'll see how he does. But my whole thing is, man, we've said it on this. We sing the praises of Andy Reid and Kyle Shanahan. Let's start picking from that tree. Nagy never made sense to me because he wasn't even the offensive coordinator, it was still Eric Bieniemy, and then we go and just get this other guy. That didn't make any sense. And at first, like, it was literally like when he walked out the door, he took half of Kansas City's playbook with him and snuck it out, you know? And then when we played, you know, that first season was amazing, and then it just all went to hell in a handbasket after that. But where we're at now, in my opinion, okay, cool. The losing streak's over. We're not going to be the first team to go 0-17 because that's a new thing. That was a worrisome thing.
Yeah.
But that's over now. All of that is over. Let's focus on the future, and the future is Eberflus free. There's no way we're going to finish. If we finish dead last in the division, we're not getting in the playoffs. You've actually regressed more, in my opinion, because you've added
talent.
You've added talent on both sides of the ball. I mean, DJ Moore has been phenomenal. I mean, that guy is a number one. He's a baller. He's going to break all kinds of records. Also, I'd like to talk about this. And I know I've been kind of going on for a second, but I want to run this by you. Justin Fields is on pace right now for 30 touchdowns. That'll be a franchise record. He also has thrown the most yards since the merger in a Bears quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
He's beating Jay Cutler's records now, who is considered to be our best quarterback we've ever had. So at what point he's doing this, in my opinion, with a shitty system? You know, they want to say that stats don't lie, which I think they do. We've been over that.
Yep.
But the proof is starting to be in the pudding here, guys. And I'm starting to wonder, are we just going to let this go? And then we're going to see this on the screen all the time? You know what I mean? That's my worry, man. Like, what if he does get to 30, Dad? Is it a new contract talk time? You can't sign him for huge money yet. But I think, like, he would know that. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of the narrative because I'm scared. Because I feel like what's going to happen, Dad, is he's going to break some records. We're going to let him go. And then they're going to be like, man, and you're going to hear all the announcers going, why would you get a guy like that after breaking all your records? And it's like, ah.
I know. I have that exact same fear, Ty, is that he actually ends up the year, Justin Fields ends up the year doing quite well. And then we go and grab, the guy out of USC, is it? The Caleb?
Caleb Williams.
We end up grabbing him and trading Justin away. And I think in a, can you imagine in a system that really caters toward what Justin can do, what that looks like? I mean, that we haven't seen that in our system.
No.
If you think you've seen it in this system, you have not. He is still working in the broken system of Luke Getsy, okay? And that system remains broken. Getsy has made some adjustments. I will grant him that. But you know what? You can make adjustments to a broken system, but it's still broke.
Right.
Okay? I mean, the thing that people aren't talking about that I want to spend a moment talking about, Ty, and that is, look at the millions of dollars we spent on linebackers in the offseason. Can you tell we've spent millions of dollars on these linebackers?
But again, I don't know if that's, Dan, I can't chalk that up on the players.
I'm not saying that, but it's such a waste because you're not using their talent, right? If it's not the players, again, it comes back to the system that you're putting those defensive players in.
Right, and I think a win is great, and a win gets that monkey off your back.
Absolutely.
But
let's see what happens from this point.
I would really like to. I am nervous about the Fields thing, because if he does break these records, you know, he now has a place in Bears history, and I feel like, man, if he hits 30. And he keeps his, and that's going to be a thing too, right? Well, what's his interception ratio? You know, because he can't have, if he keeps it below 10 and he hits 30, well, there's your guy, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Depending, well, and this is why I say stats light, because it depends, right? Because, like, I don't want him to all be like garbage time, TDs. What he's done the past 2 weeks has been explosive.
Mm-hmm.
This kid can play in the NFL. There is no doubt about it. He's either going to be a starter for us or a starter somewhere else, or maybe he goes and he sits on the bench with a really good team and learns a system. Who knows? And waits for his opportunity. I just think with the skill set and the talent that this young man possesses, like, if he gets there, we have to sit down and say, okay, no big money, but what if we just do 2 more years? We pay you a pretty good chunk of money. I mean, I don't know. I guess then that comes into the franchise tag, but I don't like that either. I don't know. I would like to just sit down. I see, that's where I'm more of a human, and I'd like to just sit down and be like, hey, this is where we're at, and just full transparency.
Yeah.
Obviously, that'll never happen in the NFL, but I do worry, man, because I think that here's another thing. I think that the chemistry that DJ Moore and him are building is going to get really good, really quick. We're already seeing it, and I think DJ Moore is going to break. I mean,
yeah.
look, I think DJ Moore is going to break a lot of wide receiver records, and I think Justin Fields has the opportunity to break a lot of the quarterback records for our franchise. What I'm saying, though, is that bar, I know people, I can hear people yelling, the bar on both is very low. I understand that. But I'm just saying, I think that you found a pair who, one, likes each other, and two, has great communication on the field.
My concern is that you have built the foundation this year so far on two people, DJ Moore, Justin Fields. That's the foundation of what's going to win you ball games. What happens if one of those guys gets hurt? What does that team, what does our team look like if one of those two guys is hurt and out? Because I don't think I don't think it's plug and play.
No,
I don't think we've got Badgett coming in and throwing the ball like Fields is throwing it to DJ Moore. That doesn't happen. If DJ Moore gets hurt, you think that Mooney becomes a second DJ Moore and he continues that? Because that's the other dynamic, right? When you've got two people that are just carrying pretty much the entire team based upon kind of their talent.
Right.
What does that look like?
And to your point, I agree completely with you. I'm going to be honest, the way we've been playing this year, health has not been a concern. And now that we're playing better, health, you bring up a valid point. Now that is kind of a concern. Now that is in the back of my mind. I'm glad you brought up Mooney, though, because Darnell, man.
Yeah.
This is the final call to do something. Claypool's gone. You're the number two. I mean, this is literally the time. He literally got a second chance. Because think about it. We trade for Claypool to make him the number one. Okay, Mooney's in the back. I'm cool. I'm number two. Uh-oh, we trade again, and now we get DJ Moore. Okay, DJ Moore is one. Claypool's two. Ugh, I guess I'm number two wide receiver behind Claypool. Claypool's gone now. DJ Moore is going to be taking a ton of the attention away. Buddy, this is where it comes down to because, man, he had that play last night and that ball hit him right in the chest and he just dropped the touchdown.
I know. And you could almost see Fields kind of going, I don't know if I'm going to target that guy a whole lot.
And you know, as far as I'm concerned with Fields, like, this guy is a very well-spoken man, and I almost think he's too humble to a fault, because after that throw, he was going, my bad, and it's like, buddy.
No way,
exactly. You threw it on the...
I agree. I'm sorry to cut you off. I didn't mean to, but I just agree totally. I saw him do that. I saw him tap his chest, my bad, and I'm going, okay, you know what he's doing? He's trying to protect his teammate. He's taking it on. Don't think you had to do it. I think pretty much everybody knew that it wasn't your bad. At least all the viewers that really watched the play knew it wasn't your bad. Whatever success we have this year on the offensive side of the ball, it boils down to two guys.
Well, and to
your point, if Mooney does not significantly get involved, Cole Kmet's been involved.
No, but see, like, hold on. I want to talk about this.
Yeah.
The two names you just brought up, they need to get more involved. And I think it needs to be, like, the tight end is such a key position, right? And it's such a, like, in my opinion, if you have a good tight end, you can make a lot of stuff happen because they're going to look. They put a DB on a tight end. Okay, now your tight end has a size. They put a linebacker on a tight end. Half the time, that tight end is bigger, faster. You know, he's going to be able to burn him. We need to get that more involved. You know what I mean? That is not there right now, and it needs to be. We signed Cole Kmet for all this money. Now, originally... And I will backtrack on this. I will call myself out. I said it was a horrible signing. I still kind of think that way, but now I'm like, well, hell, if you're not even going to use him in the system, like, you got to design something. Because the system right now is easier for Mooney to make an impact than it is for Cole Kmet. But I really feel like if we want to do something, because they talked about it when we brought it up a little earlier, that they had the mismatch. The Bears told that there was, you know, a mismatch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, okay, you know, let's see it. It was like, what? He had two catches the whole game? One was for a touchdown, I think. Hold on. Let me make sure.
Well, yeah, and here's the deal, too. I
completely... Oh, he had five. Sorry. He had five catches for... But five catches for 42 yards.
That's not a number two wide receiver. That's a number three or a number four wide receiver in the NFL. That kind of volume, that's where that's at.
Right. And I know what you're saying. We know he's a tight end, but you're saying just numbers-wise.
Yeah.
That's where he adds up.
Yeah, that's why I was doing the comparison on purpose that way. So
I mean, also, dude, look, there's a guy in Atlanta that they don't know how to use either. So if Kyle Pitts wants to come to play for Chicago...
Please do Kyle Pitts, because...
That one blows my mind.
Well you got to blame that. Again, that Arthur Smith. Arthur Smith has two guys. He's got Kyle Pitts. He's got London. Pitts is a freak. London's good,
but
again, he's got a run first offense.
I know, but as
he's not going to throw the ball.
I know, but as an NFL fan, like, you want to see.
Oh,
I know.
And it's why Atlanta's going to, by the way, I'm sorry for you, Atlanta fans. You're going to continue to be very, very average because you're in a passing league in the NFL in 2023. It's a passing league. And your coach still believes it's a running league. And you will always, always be in the middle of the pack, even if your defense has improved. That's all I have to say.
I just picture that Arthur Smith and Eberflus go to a meeting called Run the Damn Ball. And then they just get there, and like, there's no one else there, and they're like, "Huh, guess we got here early."
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean, the run is important to set up things, but again, the way Shanahan does it, the way Mike McDaniel does it with the zone blocking with the run, well, and then setting the run up for the pass, like, that way's fine. But I'll bring it up again. I know it was last week, but. The fact that you're going to run on a 4th-and-1 at a shotgun blows my mind. Like, you should have been fired for that play alone.
I know. It's like, and then to try and defend it was even worse. Well, we can run a lot of plays. Did you saw what Eberflus said? He said, "Well, we can run a lot of plays out of that shotgun." How many plays were you thinking of running on 4th-and-1?
Yeah.
Like 10 others? 15 other plays on 4th-and-1? Seriously? And you got a guy as big as Justin Fields who could prove with the Commanders, they got a pretty big defensive line.
They got it. I mean,
he did a quarterback sneak two or three times and got the first down quite well with a very good defensive line in that the Commanders have. One thing I do got to say is I thought our offensive line looked a little bit better with Jenkins out there. I believe that was his first night back, our first week back after injury. I thought he did a pretty decent job. Borum still has some difficulty with getting called for motion, or not motion, you know what I mean, moving before the ball is snapped. Illegal shift. I'm sorry. I could, for the life of me, I lost what I was going to say with that. But you know what I mean? I thought our offensive line against a pretty good defensive front. Chase, that guy's a beast. He's starting to get healthy again. He was everything that our line could do to handle him.
We dominated the first half. The second half got a little more sketchy. But for the most part, you know, we kept Fields upright and... We did, and, you know, people want to talk all the time and say that they can't make Fields a pocket passer and this and that, and I don't think he has to be, and I think what we're seeing is he can do it all, right? He can roll outside, and he can sit in the pocket, too, but the play's got to be there, and the designs have to be there, and, you know, I don't think it was the first couple of games. They're definitely gelling now. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens here. I think, though, no matter what happens the rest of the year, you got to say goodbye to the coach.
Oh, absolutely you do. To both coaches.
Well, one goes, they all go. Because the other coach is going to want to bring in his staff.
So I think that's the key, Ty, is do you think in terms of our offensive coordinator that he can move out of his ego enough to make the adjustments? He did make some adjustments against the Commanders. You saw that. They were throwing more deep balls than they've thrown in any of the previous games. So my concern would be that he just made adjustments on Thursday night but doesn't continue to make any real kind of adjustments.
We'll see. We have the mini bye that they call it because it's 10 to get days before our next game. Yeah.
And then are we up against Minnesota then?
Yes.
Okay.
Minnesota.
And then after that, it's the Raiders. Okay.
So we'll be at home against the Vikings, and then we will be at home against the Raiders. Then we go play the Chargers on Sunday Night Football.
That'll be rough.
Yeah, and then we play the Saints.
Also a rough game. They've got a pretty good defense.
Panthers, Lions, Vikings, Lions again, Browns, Yeah. I'm laughing because under the Bears and Browns, that's already being reported as a flex.
Yeah, I can understand that.
So yeah, I
who would blame them?
Look, it's a long road to go. It's going to be very interesting. There's some perspective that we need to, like, I think, look for as far as, like, where the season goes, who's doing what as far as coaching, because we're going to need a head coach, in my opinion. I think that whoever it is, yeah, you got to go to the bathroom. You could just say it. I got you. So I think it's going to be interesting to try to figure out what we need. I'm high on Eric Bieniemy, but I also kind of like what Kellen Moore is doing and I know I brought him up before, but he'd kind of be outside of the tree. But I guess I'm going to start paying attention to more of, who's coming from, Shanahan's corner or Mike McDaniel's side, and try to kind of go off that and figure out, what we need. Because there's no chance that we can keep Eberflus after this season. It doesn't matter. I mean, you can't win three games one season, and then you're struggling for a win this late. Almost went a full calendar year without a win. That would have been embarrassing. You have the longest streak in Bears history at 14 losses in a row, which is, that's just honestly incredible. I'm glad. I am glad that the streak got broken for that. But as far as where we talk about the extension on the leash and stuff, I think that if Ryan Poles is smart, he has to see that. And also, man, I think that it'd be interesting to see where Kevin Warren comes in on all this and says, because I want to know what his job is. I'm still very confused on that, because, what if Poles sits there and says, you know what, we're going to keep him for another year. If I was Kevin Warren, I said, you know what? No, we're not. Why is that? Because you're both fired. That's what I would tell him.
And you know what? You would have every right to make that decision at this point in time.
Because, so, it just doesn't make sense, right? Like, the fact, okay, one win. We'll see. Minnesota's a bad team, right?
Last year, everybody saw that Minnesota, the number of wins they had 5 or 6 games in which they got lucky and pulled out the wins. I mean, in overtime, in a bad bounce of the ball, they got a good bounce of the ball. I didn't think they were going to keep that up this year, and they've proven that they can't. The ball can't always bounce your way, and last year it bounced their way consistently. Hey, I got a question for you, Tyler.
Yeah.
Is it? Is there any way in the frickin' world that the Bears keep this current coaching staff? Do you see that happening in any way?
Well, when you're in the
form?
Bathroom, I kind of already answered that.
Oh, I'm sorry, buddy.
Yeah,
I'm
sorry. No, you're good.
Yeah.
No, just to answer your question, no. Man, so far Fields' numbers, 1,143 yards, 11 TDs, 5 interceptions, QBR of 44.9, which is 26 in the league. But, I mean, if you look at the progression that he's made this season, just by numbers, like Green Bay, he threw for 216 yards. Tampa, he threw for 211. And then Kansas City, he didn't even throw for 100. He threw for 99. You know, and then he was 1-1 in the Green Bay game as far as touchdown interception. He threw one touchdown pass in Tampa, and that was the opening drive, and then two interceptions. And then in Kansas City, he was 1-1 again. And you look at these numbers, and you're like, okay, that's bad. But then you shoot up to the last two games, and he's just balling out of control. I mean, he threw against the Broncos 335 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. I understand.
Because a lot of people are saying, yeah, it's the Broncos.
Yeah, well, but then he goes up against the Commanders and he doesn't. And I understand what people are saying as far as, because what was it? He had 9 turnovers in the fourth quarter, and you just can't do that, or like in chances on game-winning drives. Yeah, and I get that you can't do that. Again, I don't know if that interception was on him or not. I wish someone would tell me. I don't have the football mindset to know. I don't know what play was called or anything. I guess it doesn't even matter now. But if he can keep his numbers low, like if he throws for only 5 more interceptions the entire year, I mean, man, we got something.
Yeah.
Now, if he goes up to 15, whew, we don't got something. You know, that, and I'm just being completely honest. We're going to be playing some bad teams along the stretch.
We are. And you know, again, the first 2 to 3 games, to me, it just didn't look like he was able to go through his progressions and that he wasn't seeing the field. The last 2 games, looks like he's going through his progressions and is seeing the field a lot better. So I guess I'm a little bit confused. Is his ability to see the field and go through his progressions, how much is that just him getting back into the swing of things? Because last year he was just a slow start, right? We had those terrible games, and then he turned everything turned around. So I guess I'm wondering, is this kind of his pattern that he starts out slow, picks up, and we'll see. I guess we'll have the answer in terms of what the next, you know, 3 or 4 games start to look like.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Vikings aren't very good. We've said that before. It'd be nice to beat them and maybe pick up a little momentum, I guess. I don't know, maybe all for nothing, maybe not. You know, if there's a way in which the world exists where Fields lights it up and then the focus goes back to the defense, that would be great, I think. Because then you would just see Eberflus completely falling on his ass, which would be fantastic. I don't know if we're going to see that again, because who knows? Luke Getsy has been switching it up somewhat. But, we'll see. It's all a waiting game from here on out.
Well, it'd also be interesting, too, because I believe we may have enough time to get our defensive backfield starters back in the game. Because that was for sure.
We were crippled. We
went into the Commanders game. We didn't have any of our starters playing in the defensive backfield. So it'll be interesting to see how many of our starters we can get back. And if those starters are there, do you see us going more to man coverage like we did in the first game with Green Bay? Or do you see us continuing with that Tampa 2?
I think he's going to stick with the Tampa 2.
That's what I'm a little concerned of. And I just don't see people winning with that Tampa 2 offense. By the way, do you know where that phrase, take what the defense gives you? Do you know that that originated because people were playing Tampa 2 and And people started to go, oh, yeah, you can nickel and dime these people to death playing on that Tampa 2. That whole piece is just a recipe for disaster long term. Good teams do not consistently play Tampa 2 when they get ahead and stay ahead. What they do is good teams hit the accelerator on their offense, and that's how they close the game out, not by playing great defense.
Yeah, I agree. So real quick, we didn't even talk about that game, so we got to go quick.
Yep.
I got to get going.
Okay, buddy.
Minnesota win, loss, what?
Oh boy, I think it's a bit more of a shootout. The way Fields is playing, I think we could potentially win it.
I am on the fence. I think we could win it. I don't know, but I could see us also just falling flat on our face because that's what the Bears do. But hey, you know what? This week was a great time, and remember, it's always a good time when you
bear down.